The Apostle Paul was both an inspired preacher of the Word and an inspired writer of the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 17, Luke tells us that Paul called the elders from Ephesus down to Miletus. He sent for them and asked them to come down and meet with him. Paul had been at Ephesus for better than 3 years, where he had studied and taught and been involved in their lives. And he now needs to speak to these elders, tell them some things that are on the horizon, and encourage them. He rehearses things that he did with them while he was at Ephesus, and then he speaks to them of the bonds and afflictions that he himself will face as he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he did face those bonds and afflictions when he arrived and later spent time in prison in Caesarea and on to Rome. But he also issued some warnings to them. They were the overseers of the congregation there. They were the ones, he said, who were to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And they were to do this in view of coming apostasy that he knew again was on the horizon for that congregation and in that group of elders. Now he closed out his farewell speech to them in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, where he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." At the end of that statement, the Bible says he kneeled down and he prayed with them all. Tears were shed, which he said he likely would not ever see them again. Later, Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, young man, his son in the faith, the Bible says. He had taught him. He mentored him. And he wrote some similar admonitions as he did to the, as he spoke to these elders at Ephesus. He warned them about false teachers in the second letter to Timothy, thought to have been written from Paul's second imprisonment, not referred to specifically in the Bible, but it's thought that that was during a second imprisonment. But we're looking especially, at least to our first point of our lesson, at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. In these verses, Paul admonishes Timothy, encourages him to continue in the things he has learned. Why would he tell him to continue in the things that he learned? Well, being a young man, not being immediately under the influence of Paul's presence, there might be a tendency to allow others to influence him, as he was a fairly young man. Remember, Paul also said, I think in the first book, let no man despise thy youth. Sometimes older people look down on younger people, and I guess it happens both ways sometimes. But the generation gap can be there, and lest that generation gap cause Timothy some difficulty, he said, you need to continue in the things that you've learned. Now listen to what else he says. Things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Those things we learn as a child. At a young age, I remember attending at the Moro Church of Christ. Had the influence of a lot of godly teachers there who encouraged me. A couple of them were also teachers at the Cumberland High School where I attended. And were very, very encouraging. I was glad that we crossed paths. But not only does he say continue the things he's learned, he refers to the Holy Scriptures. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had taken a part in that learning process. In fact, they were the source of that learning process, other than of course the Word of God. But Timothy had been taught by his mother. He had been taught by his grandmother. And as a child, the only scriptures that were available were the Old Testament. So the Holy Scriptures that he learned and that he was to continue in at that time, as far as his study of them and learning, were the Holy Scriptures, he said, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that a little bit more. It was Timothy's study. Remember, Paul also told Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. Study or give diligence. This is an encouragement to Timothy, but I can see it's an encouragement for me too. It's an encouragement for each one of us to study, to give diligence, to show ourselves approved unto God. And this man had the benefit of having the Apostle Paul as his teacher. And yet he was told this, that the Old Testament scriptures, that learning that was presented to him through his grandmother and his mother, that was what provided the foundation, what provided the background for that which led to, was that which led to his salvation. Now, how was the scriptures to make him wise unto salvation? Well, the Old Testament provides a lot of information for us, doesn't it? It presents a lot of character studies. Tell us about a lot of individuals. Tells us about what God was doing. There is a scheme of redemption. There is a thread of us seeing God at work in the lives of his people throughout the Old Testament. And all of it points forward to what's going to be happening in the New Testament. It's like coming into a movie right in the middle of it without having a study of the Old Testament. You come into the middle of the story, so to speak. Or you come in and you wonder. I know sometimes Jensen and I will be watching a movie and she'll nod off. Or she'll have to go do something and she'll come back and won't know what happened. Well, being a nice person that I am, I say, you know, after, you know, a few times, I say, now, if I tell you what happens, we're not going to see what's happening now. And then who's going to tell us? But anyway, that goes over like a lead balloon. But anyway, that's about it. If you come in and you just pick up the Bible and without any background in the Old Testament, pick it up at Matthew, and it introduces you to the genealogy of Jesus. Who in the world are these folks? And we're not going to know all of them probably by heart, but we'll recognize some of those names. And then here's Jesus Christ. How in the world did he get here? What is going on? What, is he really God? Is there something I'm not seeing? And it quotes an Old Testament scripture about him being born of a virgin. Whoever heard of such a thing? Whoever heard of such a prophecy of that? Whoever heard of such a thing happening? So with no background to it, we come into the middle of the story, so to speak, and we don't know what God has planned. From the very beginning that he sets forth in the Old Testament, and we don't get that part of the story, and we miss out on the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But the Old Testament provides information regarding the fall of man. and the rise of sin in the lives of men. But also we find the background and development of God's plan for reconciling man to himself, for man's redemption. Also we find messianic prophecies, prophecies concerning that Christ child that was born in Bethlehem, where he would be born, that he would be born of a virgin, and numerous things about him. John the Baptist also was on hand a little bit before. We need to know a little bit about John the Baptist. We learn about him in the early parts of the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. As far as our study of certain New Testament books, have you picked up the book of Revelation lately? I don't get as much out of the book of Revelation because I've never gotten as much as I should have and studied as much of the book of Daniel and other apocalyptic type literature from the Old Testament. The book of Hebrews was oh so difficult for me when I first taught it. What in the world has God, you know, has God lost his mind putting the book of Hebrews in the Bible? I didn't say that. But, you know, I can't understand it because I don't have, what is a Levite? What is this priesthood? Old Testament. There is meat in the Word in the book of Hebrews. There's meat in the Word in the book of Revelation. There's meat in the Word in the book of Romans. But we have to have a knowledge of the Old Testament or it'll just fly right by us. The same Old Testament scripture that Paul commended Timothy to read, I commend to you. I commend to each of us to read. It offers wisdom. It also offers hope. Note carefully what Paul wrote in, we'll look at another scripture in Romans 15, verses 3 and 4. Talk about the value of the New Testament. It helps us to develop wisdom because it gives us a bank, a storehouse, that computer. It gives previous information on which to store additional information. It gives us places in our brain where certain segments of the New Testament now will fit if I have a knowledge of the Old Testament. I know as we get older, it's more difficult to fit anything in your brain, but it's not impossible. Old dogs can be taught new tricks. And we can learn. Let's look at Romans 15. Apostle Paul's writing again here. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. For even Christ did not please himself. Romans 15, 3 and 4. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. As if this is Christ speaking to God and talking about himself. But Paul quotes that from Psalm 69, I believe it's verse 69 and 9. So he appeals to Old Testament scriptures, and then he makes a remark for us. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. He just quoted something that was written before or aforetime, as the King James, I think, says. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning. That, and I've got that, the word that circled because sometimes we might miss that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we can get that patience and that comfort as we read about these Old Testament characters and their relationship with God. How God dealt with them. Oh, some of them were the vilest of sinners. The Bible doesn't cover up sin in people's life, even though they're great men of faith. David was a man after God's own heart. Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham was a liar. At least a couple of times. David was an adulterer and a murderer. God forgives even those sins. God will forgive yours, and God will forgive mine. And I learned that from the Old Testament. And I can better understand what's going on when Christ goes to the cross for my sins. And for your sins. For the sins of all people throughout all ages. But they were written for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Well, if we don't finish that sentence, we just hadn't got the crux of the what he's saying. Might have hope through recollecting, through remembering the examples of the Old Testament. It can give us hope. Those characters are there for our benefit. Some of them repeated in the New Testament. How do they offer hope? Well, they provide a record of God's faithfully dealing with his people. Promises was made to Abraham, for instance. There was a land promise, land of Canaan, fulfilled when God's people came back into the land of Canaan. There was a nation promise, fulfilled when Israel became a nation. And I guess a full-fledged nation, they went down into Egypt, but coming out of Egypt. 200,000 plus men, I believe it was. Or several hundred thousand. And the seed promised to Abraham that God said, in your seed or your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And Galatians points out that that seed was Christ. So those promises, land promise, the nation promise, the seed promise, all fulfilled. God keeps his promises. Has God made any promises to you and to me in the New Testament? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that he that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. How can we believe such a promise? We'll have salvation from our sins because of what Christ did on the cross. The sacrifice he presented to God that was well-pleasing. How can we believe that our sins have been forgiven? Jesus says, I go to prepare a mansion. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again that I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A promise. Will it be kept? We have hope. God kept his promises in the Old Testament. He promised to judge the wicked and avenge the righteous. He promised to forgive the penitent and protect those who were humble. And as we read of the Old Testament dealings of God with his people, the children of Israel, we learn that God keeps his promises. The Old Testament's value. Develop wisdom that offers hope, provides admonition. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, let's look at the 10 verses. I know we got time. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. I do not want you to be aware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. It's talking about them coming out of the land of Egypt. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for a great number of years. And then Moses arrives, God has him be their leader, and they begged and pleaded with the Pharaoh to let God's people go. Finally, they went, and he followed, and that was his mistake. But it said, ate the same spiritual food, verse 3. Verse 4, they all drank the same spiritual drink, for the drink of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. So God tells us that. And these are his people. But he doesn't smooth over the rough spots. We see that they are human beings, and they made mistakes. And there was swift justice for those mistakes. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Started out, all the people that started out, only two of them entered the land of Canaan, Caleb and Joshua. These things, he says, became our examples. So that's why I bring them up. Became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters, it was some of them. I don't worship an idol. Well, whatever we put in place of God when we ought to have a place for God is an idol. There ought to be a place in God's heart that's up there first place. So whatever is taken first place in our hearts is an idol, because that's what we really worship. God said, and the Bible says, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that He'd been speaking of would be added to us. Seek ye first. It does not say put Him second after your family, or third after your family and your job. First. Verse 8, let us not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted Him, were destroyed by serpents. Or complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things, verse 11, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. But I don't read it. I don't read the Old Testament. I don't understand the Old Testament. It's too hard. These things were written for our learning and our I have no excuse. You have no excuse. We have no excuse. Timothy was bragged on and told beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind exactly what it meant. He said, continue in the things you've learned. The things he had learned were from the Old Testament. They gave him background to make him wise unto salvation. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Boy, the church at Corinth, you can say that right away. I can say, boy, they really need that lesson. Boy, I really need that lesson too. What about you? Let he that stands take heed lest he fall. We need to be careful. We need to take stock of our salvation. Paul had just written a review of the fall of Israel in the wilderness, that they made their way from Egypt's bondage to that promised land of Canaan, that promised land, that promise had been made to Abraham and to his descendants. But their conduct was such that they forsook God on every hand in their worship. They substituted what they wanted to do rather than what God told them to do. They worship idols. And when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, even Aaron had been sucked into what they were doing. A golden calf. They committed sexual immorality, complained, whined, but the underlying sin was the sin of unbelief, as the book of Hebrews points out. The sin of unbelief. They did not have faith. They were not hearing God's word. They were not listening to Him. It was like we used to say, going in one ear and out the other. God was not pleased, and you don't want to displease God. God showed those people what would happen when He was displeased. Well, let's see. It was written for my admonition, my learning. Oh, I should take that to heart, because the New Testament speaks of heaven and it speaks of that other place that we don't like talking about. Hell. And all that takes place there. The Old Testament helped me understand better the justice of God. Too many people read the New Testament and get only God is love. God is love, yes. But despite that, God is a God of justice. Yes, He's merciful. Yes, He's long-suffering. But we are creatures of choice. And we make choices just like they made choices that displease God. Today we live under the new covenant of Christ, but there's still much we can learn from the Old Testament. Values, some of the values from the Old Testament developed wisdom, 2 Timothy 3:15. At the feet of his grandmother, at the feet of his mother, Timothy from a child, learned the Holy Scriptures that could make him wise unto salvation. When Paul visited Lystra in Acts chapter 16, he found a young man who knew the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul wanted that man. And that young man wanted to go along with Paul. I don't know whether he made it back home or not. But I'm sure that Mama and Grandmama were proud of that boy, Timothy. Because they taught him well. They started him out on the right foot. The Old Testament offers hope, Romans 15:3-4. Things written aforetime were written for our learning, for our instruction, that we might have hope. Because we see what God did with them. God made those promises and He lived faithfully. He faithfully performed. The Old Testament provides admonition. Those scriptures give good examples to follow as well as some bad behavior to shun. And they're there for us to learn. So they're there for us to read. Found this poem, reading the Bible through, and it kind of hit me. Written by Amos R. Wells. When you read the Bible through, I supposed I knew my Bible. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapter of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd. 12th of Romans, the 1st of Proverbs, yes. I thought I knew the word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar. When I read the Bible through, you who like to play at Bible, dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a weary and yawn through a hurried prayer, you who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture. When you read the Bible through, this morning for someone here not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Confessing Jesus as the Son of God, as the Lord of your life, having that faith in Him, and acting upon thy faith by repenting of your sins, by turning back on sins, and by having the blood of Christ available to wash away those sins. And that washing away is pictured in baptism. Baptism is an act of obedience. It doesn't serve a purpose other than washing away our sins in a picture form, but it's an action of obedience. And from the way I read my Bible, the way the Bible reads in the book of Acts and in the Great Commission, it's essential for salvation. It says the Lord added to the church daily such should be saved in Acts 2:47. And that was after 3,000 souls on Pentecost repented and were baptized into Christ. And then it said the Lord added such daily. Who have been saved. If you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation or you need to come back to the church, you need to rededicate your life, You have that opportunity. We stand and we sing.